Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
The Friday Night War is on. The full gear card is leaked and we look forward to Crown Jewel. Well, maybe look forward to is a little strong of a sentiment. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. We are Canada's wrestling radio program powered by Great Lakes Beer and coming at you across the country on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and we've got your weekly recap and rundown of all there is to know in the world of wrestling coming up in the next hour. First up, I'll be joined by Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to chat about shots being fired in the media, on network time, on Twitter. Everywhere we look, there is a wrestling war in full battle mode. But might the fans be collateral damage? We'll talk to Dave about that then. With the WWE presenting Crown Jewel this Thursday, we'll give you a preview of the much-hyped event with one half of our Smack Daddies podcast review team, Brad the Dad. Plus, a look back at the last Crown Jewel in a throwback edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. All of that is to come in this hour, but if this hour isn't enough, remember, we deliver pro wrestling podcasts each and every day directly to your inbox for only $1 a week. All you have to do is visit us at patreon.com/SNMEradio, and you'll get reviews of Raw, NXT, SmackDown, Dynamite, Rampage, This Week, Crown Jewel, and they'll find their way into your podcatcher each and every day. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio. We'll be back with my chat with Dave Meltzer, but in the meantime and in between time, what would Halloween be without some pumpkin ale from our friends at Great Lakes Beer?
You are a bold and courageous person. West of the Humber River, there stands a brewery. Workers toil constantly there both day and night. Some say the place is haunted, but you don't believe in such myths. One dark and stormy night, a light appears at the topmost window of the brewery's fermentation cellar. You decide to investigate, only to find a bubbling copper cauldron filled with a tasty pumpkin concoction. You know not whether to share this secret or keep it to yourself. And then you discover it's found throughout Ontario at LCBO locations in tall boy cans for just $3.25. Although the mystery is no longer a mystery, this trick is most certainly all treat. Pumpkin ale from Great Lakes Brewery, the safest and most delicious way to celebrate Halloween.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Well, as I stated in the intro, the wrestling war has started once again. And joining me now on the line is Dave Meltzer, the editor of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Dave, it's kind of funny. We're still talking. I mean, we started doing this weekly segment, you with live audio wrestling, in the last wrestling war. And I mean, as of this weekend, it is very clear we are right back in it again, more than 20 years removed.
Yep. It's real interesting where it's going to go because everyone involved has knowledge of what happened before. But yeah, I mean, the gloves are off, at least for right now. We'll see what happens. It's different because social media has changed the dynamic of it
right.
A lot. Because I actually believe that there probably would have been a lot more earlier, except the AEW side was very sensitive to social media and didn't want to get the WWE fans mad. But even though they did at times, they kind of, like, at the very beginning they didn't, and then the backlash actually changed a lot of things, and so then they stopped, and I think now we're back.
Yeah, we definitely are. So this week there's, and I mean, we're back from Tony Khan on down. I mean, Tony Khan firing shots this week when WWE declared that they were going to go commercial free for that 10 o'clock hour, saying, and he pulled out the money card. I mean, I was actually kind of surprised. Khan saying, I got more money than you, I can buy my time too. Essentially something like that. I was surprised he did that, Dave.
I was too. You know, and, you know, again, when somebody talks a lot, I know it because I talk a lot, sometimes you say things that, you know, you without, I don't even say without thinking, but because he probably thought, but sometimes you say things that, you know, some people aren't going to like. And in his case, at first when I heard a guy, I wish you didn't, like, play that card. You know, it's true, but I just wish you didn't play that card publicly. But then, you know, like, literally, like, about a minute later, it was like, you know what? It's like, it's like when the bully hits you and hits you, sometimes you tell the bully, you know what I mean? I mean, guess what? You know, there's that thing, you know, I mean, like, you know, the cons can buy and sell Vince, and maybe he just wanted to say that because so many people think, ah, Vince is going to destroy you, you know, and he's been here, you know, from day one, he's been hearing that, and maybe he's just, you know, when he's gotten so close and it's really a war and everything like that, and he's hearing Vince is going to destroy you, you know, maybe he just said, you know what, think about this for a second. You know, and again, that message is probably less to the fans and more to WWE about, like, okay, you want to play this game? I can play this game, you know. So I think that's really what it was. You know, I think a lot of the stuff that's going back and forth, some of it has to do with the fans. A lot of it has to do with, you know, a lot of frustration, because I sense a lot of frustration on a lot of sides right now. And, you know, there's some good in that. Friday's wrestling shows from both sides were really good. And there's a reason. It's because they were head-to-head. And, you know, I think everyone felt that the chips were down on Friday night.
Is it different this time? And what I mean by that is, last time around, Ted Turner, Turner Sports, all of that comes in, big money, WCW going after Vince. Vince plays, I'm the little guy, this big company is trying to destroy me. You now have Vince as a public company, lots of money there. Khan's arguably, I mean, do have more money. I mean, Tony stated that. But is it different, or is WWE still now? How can they say, if they're going to try, that they're the underdog here?
WWE does believe that they're the victims in this. Yes. So, but the dynamic is completely different. Number one, nobody's fighting for survival. You know, and really, I mean, they and certainly WWE isn't. WWE is in the greatest financial condition, you know, you could ever be. Now it's. It's more of a public forum battle. Before, it was a battle, you know, to win a wrestling war. And this one, no one's going to win that easily unless somebody self-destructs. And I, you know, the in the last wrestling war, the big key, you know, number one, you did get Austin the Rock on one side, and Vince is a performer, you know, and even DX. I, you know what I mean. But the other side was. Playing the Pat Hand, and the Pat Hand doesn't work forever. You know, they're playing the Hogan thing. As long as they have Hogan, we'll be okay. And it's like, no, the world changes. Hogan, if you just build around Hogan forever, there will come a day when Hogan gets old, and then you'll be screwed if you didn't make new stars. And that's, you know, I told WCW that, wrote that over and over and over again. They didn't listen. Then all of a sudden they were behind, and once they were behind, they played Panic City, and they self-destructed. I don't expect that scenario to happen again with either side. I mean, time will tell. Maybe it does, but I don't expect that. I don't think Vince will ever, you know, even though people complain about Vince's booking and sometimes it's very frustrating,
mm-hmm.
Vince will never, ever, ever, I'm going to say this, ever, never, ever, ever book as bad as WCW did at the end. And Khan, I'm sure, 100%, will never, ever, ever book as bad as WCW at the end. So I don't... the public, you know, I mean, what the public does, the public may just decide, and this often happens, they may just decide, hey, this company's better, and the other company will be left in the dust. You know, it could happen. Right now, I think that we're not at that stage right now. I think that both sides have loyal fans, and, you know, when it comes to that stuff, you know, it's The fan stuff is interesting, too. I think the fan stuff would have been the same if we had social media back then, and it kind of was. I mean, I remember, you know, Ted Turner buys the ratings, and I haven't really read anything as stupid as that when WCW was ahead, you know, but I read some stupid stuff, you know, and I see it every day.
So Friday, we had SmackDown on FS1 going commercial-free for the final half hour. Tony had Daniel Bryan wrestling Minoru Suzuki on YouTube. You know, a few stunts from both sides here. What do you make of it? I know we don't have full-on ratings at this point. We do have the Fast Nationals. What do you make of what happened on Friday? Can you even say there was a winner?
You know, I mean, Bryan Danielson and Minoru Suzuki was the best match, I can say that. But okay, as far as was there a winner, you know, Monday afternoon, I'll know if there was a winner. You know, as far as that. I mean, the Bryan Danielson move, from a business sense, I don't think that worked. But for the people who watched the Bryan Danielson Minoru Suzuki match, I mean, they got one of the best matches that you're going to see. So, you know, in some ways, I think it was, I mean, for me, I think it was great. But, you know, from a business sense, you know, if it was WWE, what would they have done? They would have put that match on that show head-to-head. You know, Tony didn't want to change his plans, which says something for Tony. He's got his direction. WWE's changing stuff every single day and every single week. Tony's got his direction, and he is booking for his direction. And, you know, and he's not changing his direction. He gave you, you know, he did something that made sense. He was going to put Bryan Danielson and Bobby Fish in the main event on Saturday. So he booked a show where Bryan Danielson and Bobby Fish both got wins over in what he expected to be good matches. And Bobby Fish and Lee Moriarty was fine. And he called up Minoru Suzuki to do the job for Bryan Danielson and gave them 20 minutes. And it was incredible. So from a booking standpoint, it made sense where you're going. But, of course, you know, Bryan Danielson and Minoru Suzuki could be, like, third from the top at the Tokyo Dome, and it could be on a pay-per-view in a big, big way. And you know what? It still could be. You know, it'd just be the second match time they do it. And it won't hurt it in Japan either. And I expect we'll see that match. I do expect to see this match in Japan at some point.
The other thing that's happening is we get shots fired in the media. I mean, not just social media, the actual media. Roman Reigns decided to get involved this week, talking about CM Punk, saying, "I don't think anyone believes someone 200 pounds soaking wet with no explosive bone in his body could ever really do anything to me. I'm 6'3", 265, a legitimate athlete who can throw some weight around and has been on the gridiron at the highest level." This was a strange play to me on Roman's part, because that type of statement in the year 2021, to me, just kind of makes him look foolish.
Okay, so I am of the impression that, you know, Roman Reigns discusses everything he does with Paul Heyman, and that's a Paul Heyman mentality thing. That's what ECW did. They would say things like that. Now, ECW, you know, it's also very different in the 90s than in 2021. And, you know, a big football player, you know, talking like he's this, you know, badass, and he is to a degree, for sure. When you have an era where people have seen real fights and they know that a football player getting in a real fight, it's, you know, it's a different thing. He's a great football player. That doesn't make you a great fighter. Obviously, could he beat CM Punk in a fight? You know, CM Punk's a trained fighter. Roman Reigns is a much, much better athlete. Probably, you know, who knows? Who cares? I guess the answer is, who cares? I mean, there was a period, you know, there was a period of where this was, you know, done in wrestling. But it's like, okay, you know, AEW's got Junior Dos Santos. And as soon as he said that, I go, like, they've got Junior Dos Santos now. You know, it's like, what are you talking about playing that card? You know, it's like, oh, whatever. It's like, you know, so many of the guys that are on top in both organizations aren't street fighters. They're professional wrestlers. That's what it is now. So it's kind of, yeah, it felt like something that you would say in the 70s or 80s, and it felt very dated and out of touch today, and also set yourself up for the comeback. And there it was, less than a day later, there was Junior Dos Santos. So it's kind of like, what are you going to do? I mean, it's like, you know, Roman Reigns wouldn't last 2 minutes with Junior Dos Santos. You know, I mean, that's just the fact.
And apparently neither can Tony Khan. Is this a legit injury, the story here with Tony Khan taking some sort of bump from Junior Dos Santos and hurting his ribs?
Yeah, he broke a rib, I think, or hurt his ribs, yeah.
Oh, boy, Tony Khan, stay out of that stuff. Also, Tony Khan, I mean, we're just going to keep talking about him because it was a big week here. What is the story with the leaked AEW pay-per-view card that came off someone taking a photo of Tony Khan on the field at a Jaguars game, and he's got a notepad with all of these matches scribbled on it?
Yeah, he brought his notebook. You know, I used to do that too. He brought his notebook and left a page out, and who would think that somebody with a lens is going to shoot a picture and then blow it up, and there you got the card.
Wow.
That is that's an amazing story. But yeah, that's what happened. He's, you know, I mean, the one thing is Tony Khan probably thinks wrestling 24, you know, maybe not 24 hours a day, but 18 hours a day. I mean, you know, I don't know. I have no idea how he can do, you know, between the Jaguars and Fulham and wrestling. I don't know how any human can do it. I don't know how any human can do as much as he does in wrestling, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, so far so good. But you know, do I wonder about him taking on too many responsibilities? Absolutely.
All right, Dave, that's great for this week. Observer-wise, I guess it's going to be a lot of numbers this week and a lot of analysis of these Friday nights.
Yeah, I think so. That, Crown Jewel, G1. G1's finals Thursday.
Yeah, with Crown Jewel, same day.
Same day, yeah. So there's a lot. And, you know, I think it's going to get more and more and more interesting. That's just how it's going to be because the stakes are higher and the game is closer and people are going to say things. They're going to say things that are that poke the other. They're going to say things that maybe are stupid. They're going to get people mad. That's on both sides. That's just the nature of what happens here. And, you know, in theory, with WCW and WWE, WWF, when that happened, it did grow the business. And I think this could grow the business short term. If we look the other one, it's like the long term, the short term, everyone talks about that era, you know, this great era and everything, and it really was. But the long term is that era was a disaster for the business, absolute disaster when you watched it play out, because there was an end result that, basically made wrestling very much less interesting. Now, I don't think that's going to play out this time, but as far as, you know, the big, and in wrestling war history, you know, the beginning of the war is always big for business, and the end of the war and the post-war are usually terrible for business. And you can go place after place after place, and it always ends up that way. Now, that doesn't mean that this will end up that way, because history doesn't always repeat itself, but historically, it has always ended up that way. And hopefully these guys are financially strong enough to avoid that scenario, I believe. But it is a historical scenario that has always been the case.
Well, Dave, let's enjoy the ride. It's fun for us to cover. And then let's just hope by the end of this that if those WWE for sale rumors are true, that the Khans aren't the one to buy them.
isn't that the irony of ironies?
Dave, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Same time, same place.
Okay, have a great week.
We've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will quiz you and two patrons about the last time WWE presented a Crown Jewel, and then later in the show, preview this year's Crown Jewel with Brad the Dad from the Smack Daddies podcast. That is all to come tonight. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransom.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Two of our patron competitors are on the line to play it on out. First of all, we got Tommy from Pittsburgh. Now, Tommy, I know you've played once before. Was it a win or was it a loss?
It was a win.
It was a win. Well, you are playing against a gentleman who had a really solid losing streak going on, but you finally turned it around. You Barry Horowitz did, Chris. Congratulations. Yeah. Chris from Sault Ste. Marie is on the line. You got one win under your belt, so that means it's a winning streak.
Let's hope so.
Well, we'll see how it goes. All right, guys, here we go. Now, your topic today, because this Thursday, we will be watching, maybe, if you so choose, Crown Jewel. The last Crown Jewel that happened was on October 31st, 2019. I can hear you both laughing already.
Oh, no.
Because you're about to answer some trivia questions about it, guys.
Oh, no.
Tommy, you're player one. Chris, you're player two. It's, guys, I wouldn't have done it if it was going to be super hard. I actually think that there's more things that you're going to remember than you think right off the bat, but we'll find out. Tommy, first question is for you. So, October 31st, 2019, Crown Jewel. In the main event of this show, Bray Wyatt as the Fiend took part in a match where the stipulation was false count anywhere, with the added ridiculousness of the match could not be stopped for any reason. Who was his opponent?
Was it Goldberg?
It was not Goldberg. It was Seth Rollins. All right, going over to you now, Chris. What MMA fighter faced Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship and shockingly lost in 1 minute and 28 seconds?
I really think he should have gone over. It was Cain Velasquez.
It was Cain Velasquez. 1-0 for Chris. Tommy, back to you. Now, Cain, if you'll remember back, Tommy, got involved with Brock to avenge Brock's September 30th, 2019 attack and beatdown on whom?
Oh, that was on... Rey Mysterio.
That is correct. Very good. I would have took Rey, I would have took Dominic, the Mysterios in general, and that's a correct answer for you, Tommy. Chris, to you. Kane was not the only celebrity on this show, as boxer Tyson Fury also got involved. Who did he defeat by countout?
Wasn't it the Big Show?
It was not. It was the new version of the Big Show at that time, Braun Strowman. It's 1-1 right now. We go back to Tommy. All right, Tommy. Team them Saudis love nostalgia. So we had a Team Hogan versus Team Flair match on this show. Name two out of the five members of Team Hogan.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
There's no half points. All
John
or nothing.
Cena, oh,
You're out. You're out already. The team was Roman Reigns, Rusev, Ricochet, Shorty G, and
what?
Ali.
Oh, no.
Chris, let's keep it even. Give me 2 of 5 of Team Flair, Chris.
Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode.
You know, you might as well take the guesses, but you are incorrect. Orton, Corbin, Lashley, Nakamura, and Drew McIntyre. What a mess. What a mess, guys.
Yeah.
Tommy, to you. In what was called a cultural breakthrough, the first ever women's match took place on this show. Name the two competitors.
I only know Natalia. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the other was Carmella.
It was not Carmella. That's too sexy for Saudi. It was Lacey Evans was the other
one. Oh, man.
Chris, to you, who actually, Lacey Evans just gave birth this past week. Apparently had the birth at home because she didn't want to go to a hospital.
Well, good for her.
Chris, to you, in a dark match, there was a 20-man battle royal. The winner went on to face AJ Styles for the U.S. title. So who won?
Oh, I'm going to say Big E.
It was not Big E. It's shocking to even say this man got a win. It was Humberto Carrillo that got the win.
Yeah. I forgot they were pushing him.
I forgot about him. Tommy, to you, there was also a tag team turmoil match to crown the WWE Tag Team World Cup champions or something like that. Who won?
Oh, was it Rude and Ziggler?
It was not Rude and Ziggler. It was Anderson and Gallows. For the win. Is someone doing construction at the moment?
Oh, that's my cat digging in the litter box.
Okay. That's a very loud cat that you have, Chris. So, cats aside, for the win, the 2019 Crown Jewel event was followed by the controversial airplane delay in Saudi Arabia. Aside from Vince McMahon, name one other WWE person and employee or contract employee, whatever, that left the country on a jet before everyone else was suspiciously held.
Roman Reigns.
That is incorrect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Roman is not on this list. I've got Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and Tyson Fury all left.
You would think Roman would be on that list.
I would guess Roman would be as well, but to the report I read, his name wasn't listed. It's controversial, Chris, but we're going to a tie. I'm sorry if I was wrong, but we're going to go to a tie here. And with the help of some editing, I'm going to ask you this tie question, and we will play the closest two game for the win. And here is the question. How long did The Fiend versus Seth Rollins no-holds-barred match that cannot be stopped for any other reason last? Chris, your guess was?
20 minutes.
And Tommy, your guess was?
15 minutes.
The correct answer, 21 minutes and 21 seconds. Congratulations, Chris. Despite the controversial ending there with the flights, you've got the win because you're closest to, and you've got yourself a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. Congratulations, Chris. A two-game winning streak.
Hey, man.
Oh, yeah. Here's where I win the tournament now.
Oh, good luck. Yeah. The tournaments are coming, guys, and that's the next time I'll talk to you both. Thank you for playing the game today, guys.
Oh, boy.
Right, thank you, Jay.
I felt like I really wish I had gift cards to give away to PetSmart just to help Chris out and that poor cat. Wow. Hey, remember, the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament is coming up in the new year. If you want to play, sign up now at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And do keep in mind, I said in a note this week that if you sign up now and are with us for November and December, you will get yourself a Sunday Night's Main Event keychain bottle opener. It's great when you get a craft beer that you can't twist off. I'll put it in the mail for you at the beginning of December. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. And when we do, I will be joined by Brad the Dad, who is going to be doing a review this week of this year's Crown Jewel. And of course, every week he hosts the Smack Daddies podcast reviewing SmackDown. That is all to come. Stick with us Sunday night's main event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Can the cats touch
fever? I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio. Are you ready?
Welcome back. One more segment of Sunday night's main event. It is going to be a meaty one, though, because this Thursday, WWE is back in Saudi Arabia. As controversial as that is, I think most wrestling fans are just numb to it at this point. But it's actually, I think, a meaningful card, thanks to the Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and Paul Heyman angle. Along with that, we got some titles on the line, and the gentlemen that are going to be covering it for Sunday night's main event and for all of our patrons out there are the Smack Daddies. They do our regular Friday night / Saturday morning SmackDown podcast, and I figured with the Reigns, Lesnar, Heyman angle on SmackDown, well, let's be honest, these guys volunteered to do this review show. So one half of the Smack Daddies joins me right now, Brad the Dad. How are you, Brad? You overwhelmed with wrestling?
I have watched more wrestling in the last 2 days than I think I did even on one of those long WrestleMania weekends, because there just seems more is more, Jason.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. I mean, I'm all for two shows going head-to-head against one another. It does make it very exciting. But when you put those two shows on a Friday, and then on top of that, this week we had Dynamite on a Saturday, that is far too much for me to get through before doing this radio show on Saturday afternoon to air on, or sorry, on Sunday afternoon to air on Sunday night. It's just too late in the week, friends.
Well, and it really becomes a problem for most of us because we do have lives, and I really enjoy the routine that I have. And then when you move like an entire show to Saturday, and then when you do silly things like we're going to give you an extra half an hour SmackDown and give you an extra hour of AEW. And while all of it was fairly good this week, right, it just is way too much. And I thought a lot about you and Mark this week because we watched 2.5 hours and Greg and I were ready to tap out. I don't know how you watch 3 hours every week.
Oh, with the fast forward button full on, Raw is a giant waste of time for the most part. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you watch it economically, which I do, the matches are incredibly short. They often don't matter. I do watch the promos to get the gist of all the promos, but there's so many recaps on that show as well that you can just zip through them all. And then I've said this before. I know I think a lot of our listeners now have really got themselves down to watching the pay-per-views. And that's when the recaps on the pay-per-views do make sense. It's for that viewer. And I think more and more people are going that way. And I will say this about Crown Jewel, and I mentioned it to Meltzer. Crown Jewel and any of the Saudi shows in the past have really not meant anything because they've been beside a pay-per-view. This is the first one that does have a little bit more meaning. And following SmackDown every week, Brad, I'm guessing that you'd agree that this one, it does have some meaningful matches on it, especially Lesnar and Reigns.
Well, Lesnar Reigns is definitely going to be the big thing to follow. It's going to have a major fallout to whatever's going to happen with Paul Heyman. And then on top of that, you have the women's three-way, which has become a big cornerstone and kind of going to wrap up that angle because they're going to separate those women onto two shows. And then even something like Bobby Lashley and Goldberg is to be, I think it's going to be a terrible show, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Is it?
Okay, so a spectacle. I enjoy when things don't necessarily go as according to plan. And the one thing we can be assured of is that every time Goldberg gets into the ring, it's an adventure because we don't know if his body's going to hold up. We don't know if he's going to be able to pull off the moves he's going to do. And the only good news about this is that Bobby Lashley has not really had a bad match in the last year or so. And I think he will be able to hold Goldberg's hand and hopefully get him through. And hopefully there's lots of bells and whistles on the outside.
Well, here's the thing, though. So we'll start there. We'll start with Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. This is the I'm going to kill you match, which is the most ridiculous angle that I don't know if it's the most ridiculous angle, but I don't care for the angle because it just really takes you out of it with Goldberg wanting to kill Lashley, which seems to be in a literal sense. The problem I'm looking at this with is I don't want to see Bobby Lashley lose to Bill Goldberg. And in this particular angle, I'm full on expecting Goldberg's kid to show up here too, and them to do some sort of wackadoodle angle here, and ultimately Lashley's going to lose, and that's not what I want to see out of this match.
But they've booked themselves into a corner.
Yeah.
Because you can't have Bill Goldberg come in and lose over and over again. He loses his mystique. So he needs to win one of these matches eventually, and they just somehow managed to pick the wrong opponent. Remember the time he wrestled Dolph Ziggler on SummerSlam and it lasted all of about 45 seconds, maybe 3 minutes at max. And it was perfect. That's all I want to see out of a Goldberg match is Goldberg to come in, some terrible heel who's been just completely awful. Goldberg comes in, unannounced, squashes them and leaves. They've booked this in to be like at least 12 minute match. But the thing I'm going to enjoy is just to see how bad it's going to be. How awful it's going to be. I'm going to get a sick perversion out of seeing this. And this might be Bill Goldberg's last match if he does a terrible job.
I don't know about that. I think he is still contracted on, and I think he's kicking around. I just see no value in him anymore. I mean, I've said it a couple times now. Originally, you talk about the Ziggler thing. I'm going to talk about the Goldberg and Lesnar surprise that they did. I believe that there was a Kevin Owens thing thrown in there as well, right? All of those I found some value to, and I was on the other side of Lavransky yelling and screaming about how much he didn't like Goldberg. I'm like, no, there's value here if you use him properly. That's gone. I'm on Lavransky's side. I'm fully backing. I never want to see Bill Goldberg again. I'm done. Mystique gone. Old man. Should not be beating Bobby Lashley.
And the problem with that is that he is going to be Bobby Lashley, which puts Bobby Lashley down a peg when they really need a good challenger for Big E coming over to Raw and Lashley staying on Raw. There's the perfect challenger for him. You can't have, well, maybe you can. It's Vince McMahon. You shouldn't have the dad who's fighting for revenge to save his son lose. And there's no way that he can't win. And then, of course, there's the irony. This is the I'm going to kill you match. It's still in Saudi Arabia.
Oh boy.
I don't think we should be talking about I'm going to kill you in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
that's still not too fresh.
Yeah, I agree. The other stunting that they've done is the two tournaments, the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown. And we're going to get both of the finals coming up at Crown Jewel this Thursday. We're going to have Finn Balor for the King of the Ring versus either Jinder or Xavier. I'm predicting Jinder here, and I'm predicting a Finn win. How about you, Brad?
I am going to be the optimist and hope that Xavier goes all of the way. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm going to put some hope in there. I'm going to bring my Filipino positivity, though I'm certainly not Filipino. I just would like to see Xavier Woods is the third member of the New Day, the forgotten member. And all he really wants out of life is to wear that crown. And I think that it would do a lot more for him. And he's already kind of comedic. I think you could have a lot of fun with him and Kofi on Friday nights, with him wearing the crown and Kofi pretending to be his, you know, Sir Kofi, and just let them play with the gimmick. What do you think is going to happen, Jason, in the women's side of the tournament?
Hold on. I'm not done with my prediction on the men's, because I see what you're saying with Xavier and Kofi. And actually, I kind of like that dynamic that you just said there. But I can already hear Michael Cole shouting, "The prince has become a king," as Balor is crowned.
Well, okay. So, but that's not going to do any favors for him.
I'm just saying, for sure it's not. Actually, you know what? They're going to try to say it's going to rehab him, don't you think?
They're going to say it's going to rehab him, but there's no doubt that Vince is going to put some stupid cape on him and stupid crown. And then eventually when he has a match as the Demon, it'll be the Demon King that we get. And God only knows what that's going to look like. And it's just, they're just too tempted to make it cartoony and goofy, where Finn Balor is not a goofy character. He is one of the characters that they did right by sending down to NXT, because in NXT, he was a killer. He was a total killer. And that character is still within him. They just, because he's not 6 foot tall, Vince won't ever book him that way.
All right. Queen's Crown. Right now we got Zelina. For some unknown reason, Zelina Vega's in the finals here, against either Shayna Baszler or Doudrop. Now, Shayna Baszler and Doudrop are in a program. They're going to have a match on Monday Night Raw. And, you know, I thought, Brad, that much like the prince becoming a king, we'd have the Queen of Spades winning the Queen's Crown. But with Zelina already there, are you telling me they're going to put Zelina versus Shayna in a match on this pay-per-view? It doesn't make sense.
We're getting Doudrop.
Yeah.
Doudrop is totally winning this match, which means that Doudrop gets to win this feud because Shayna's leaving Raw, which is kind of bizarre that they're not going to do that and let Doudrop win a feud. The thing is, I love Piper Niven, but I do not like Doudrop.
Me neither.
I know that
Me
sounds.
Neither. Nope, that makes total sense to me.
because they're not the same person. Doudrop is a cartoony. I almost feel like Vince is laughing at the fat girl, and I can't enjoy that.
You're right.
I'm a large guy. I've struggled with my weight throughout my life, and having somebody laugh at the fat person on TV is, in a culture that no longer tolerates body shaming, is totally unacceptable. And the problem is that underneath that, there's this beautiful story of this woman who was told she couldn't do this, and now, like, they're not even exploring that part of it. It's just a one-line punchline. But I think they're going to have the little, Vince can't resist the idea of the big, big, big person wrestling the little person. And in this case, the little person is going to win. I mean, Zelina Vega will do a great job with this gimmick, but she hasn't won a match till she got into this tournament. And all of a sudden, she just been on a hot streak.
So Doudrop defeats Shayna on Raw. Doudrop versus Zelina is your match at the Queen's Crown tournament. I would guess then Shayna interferes and Zelina gets the win. Or, I mean, Doudrop, if Vince is laughing under his breath at this character, then Queen Doudrop, I can also see that.
And she's still on Raw, and that would mean you'd have King Xavier on SmackDown, and you'd have Queen Doudrop on Raw.
All right. Well, we'll see where things land. Our theories are clashing against one another here, but we shall see. Hey, the other thing that we got going on, we should talk about this. It's the Women's Championship. The SmackDown Women's Championship is happening. It's Lynch and Belair and Sasha Banks. I think the bigger discussion point here is one I talked to Dave about, is the fact that you've got to get the Raw belt on Raw, and you've got to get the SmackDown belt on SmackDown. Charlotte is currently holding the Raw belt, but is going to SmackDown, and Lynch has the SmackDown belt. So are they making a tradesies? Because that's super lame.
I'm afraid they're making the tradesies, because there is a way to book around this, which is that on Monday you have Bianca Belair is going to wrestle Charlotte on Raw. You could have the title switch there, and then you could have Sasha Banks win the other title at this three-way, because she's staying on SmackDown.
Yep.
And then those two titles are on those two women, and they're on different brands. And you could, when Charlotte comes over to SmackDown, she can then chase after Sasha. And the other two are coming over, Becky's coming over to Raw. So then they can renew that feud over the Raw title. But it doesn't really matter. None of these feuds matter, because we're going to go into Survivor Series after this, and everybody has to be brand loyal.
Well, that's the thing. And with that said, then, Brad, don't you think that we end up with Becky standing off face-to-face with Charlotte? They both have the titles. After all said and done here, they swap the titles and basically say, see you at Survivor Series.
I would hate to see that, mostly because I think it'd be nice to get them back on. I think Bianca she said in her promo a few weeks ago that everything big that has happened this year in WWE has gone through Bianca. And I think she's earned that starring role on Raw, and I'd love to see what that would look like. And Sasha Banks is a great champion, as a great heel champion, although you're going to then have Charlotte as a heel, and that doesn't work. So maybe I just contradicted myself. At the end of all of this, I just have this funny feeling that we're going to get the title off of Charlotte some way, somehow, so that she can begin to pad her lead. Because now that her dad's in hot water, they need to get her to be the most winning Flair of all time as fast as possible.
Oh, boy. All right. Before we go, Brad, one final question, one final chat. It's kind of where we started, but let's round it on out and get your thoughts on how will Reigns and Lesnar, and more so the trouble with Paul Heyman, be settled here. To me, this is not going to be settled. This is something that has to continue on, but do we find out where Paul's allegiance lies, or does that still remain a mystery leading up to WrestleMania?
I think they have to leave it as a mystery. I think that's the only way forward. I think we're going to have a screwy entrance at the end of this. We have to have some sort of screwball finish, because they can't help themselves. They're not going to want to leave this unanswered. I've really felt as if Brock Lesnar is just stirring the pot throughout this whole process, and that he is not the guilty party, shall we say, that he is the one that he is just stirring the pot. Paul Heyman's been truthful. He's been loyal to his tribal chief. And at the end of this, I think that's probably the way it's going to go, is that he's going to help Roman win. And and that'll give Brock an out for a rematch.
I think at the end of this, somehow Paul ends up on neither side, and that's how Gabe Steveson finds his way.
Doesn't he still have some time where he has to wrestle for his university for at least like 3 or 4 more months?
Yeah, but this is going to carry on to Mania. And then I think that that's where we, not like that, not that result will not happen at Crown Jewel. I think that result will happen at WrestleMania, and then Paul will show up afterwards with Gable Steveson.
That would make the most sense to have him. I mean, that would mirror what happened with Brock Lesnar, where Brock Lesnar first appeared on television the night after WrestleMania with Paul Heyman as his advocate. I mean, we saw him here in Toronto when I went to Fan Access. I saw warm-up matches with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, and they did the whole shtick that he did. I think it was even the opponent. The whole shtick was done at one of those Access shows that you went to before WrestleMania that year. And then it re-happened on television the next day, and my buddy and I were watching Raw together. We were just dumbfounded at, like, whoa, we saw this live, and oh, this is who's that? We saw that kid, and we go, wow, what an amazing prodigy he is. And Gabe Stevenson is going to be, he is the next one. And what a better way to give the guy a great start than to put him with Brock Lesnar?
You bet. You bet. All right, that does it. And on Thursday, Brad the Dad and Greg the Dad, we got to get him a catchier nickname, the Smack Daddies will be doing our review. It is a podcast. It will be of Crown Jewel, immediately following Crown Jewel. If you want to get it, it's available via podcast. Just sign up, patreon.com/SNME Radio. Brad, thanks for taking time out of your Sunday. We got to say goodbye for tonight to all of you listening on the podcast and to all of you listening on the terrestrial airways. We'll be back next Sunday. Same time, same place. It's Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it.
Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNME Radio. patreon.com/SNME Radio.